Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Psalm 138. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Romans, the 8th chapter. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the collect for this week, we pray, O Lord, grant that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Say what you want about the two kingdoms. The church is not afraid to pray directly to God as if he were the one ruling in this world directly. We do not offer left-hand petitions through left-hand structures of politics. Rather, we do acknowledge providence. It is a fact that God, not chance, governs. This is what permits us to say with confidence that the world has in fact been ordered. It's not spewed out from chaos or happenstance. And all of this means that there is redress to the Lord when we're surrounded by chaos or ungodly loudness or a world going off course. He does the ordering. Now, we are in no position to judge accurately the course of history, much less to order it around ourselves. Even if we could, we would need to contend with all of the other competing voices and forces out there. The Lord, however, is above it all. He's beneath it all. He's behind it, before it. Indeed, our prepositions fail to say just where the Lord in his heavens sits. But that seat, however, is the kingly and the ascended throne, and the Lord is on it. And so we ask him constantly that he would govern so that the church might serve him joyfully and in godly quietness. Godly quietness. Godly quietness is a disposition of the soul more than it is a disposition of the mouth. There are times when the hand and the pen have resisted loudly. There are times when the body has been given over to the flames, almost causing Marcus Aurelius to admire Christian martyrdom, but finally to shrink from what he called our histrionics of sheer contrariness. Well, likewise, Psalm 138 is filled with thanks, singing, calling, not quiet. And yet, even when the world isn't peaceable, the Christian heart may remain godly quiet. It's only the service, mostly, that gets hampered, as any bishop who's stuck in prison or burning on a stake, or any pastor or synod worker stuck at home knows. Sometimes, though, it is faith that gets rattled and shaken so that our hearts become disquieted. And this is why we pray this week's collect. Now, we are not seeking quietism, that calm of avoiding problems, the calm of capitulation or of false peace. Apologies to Marcus. But our contrariness comes from the essential conviction that Jesus, not Caesar, is Lord. It's a conviction that includes fearing the one who can throw not just the body but the soul as well into hell. And the way that we sometimes have to fear is by offering up our bodies to the other one for destruction. Even so, it is not in our nature as Christians to be contrary at all. That's why we ask our Lord to order everything peaceably. Since we know that the lords of chaos, the gods as our psalm calls them, continue to set themselves wittingly or unwittingly against both joyful service in the church and also all kinds of godliness. As I preached to you before, prayer is the right expression for all of this. Pray first, because you believe that the Lord's providence ultimately governs. And though He is high, He regards the lowly, and He stands aloof from the proud. Pray second, or maybe first, because Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is risen from the dead, and who indeed is interceding for you. And pray third, because your quiet, your peace, your joy in this life all stand penultimate. That is, they are the secondary things. Remember that the Augsburg Confession's article on civil government is immediately, almost humorously, cut off and followed by Christ's return for judgment. So much for the glorious reign of kings and gods. They, along with all of our penultimate loves, are on the Lord's leash. At best, they are preserving this life, but they're never saving it, they're never delivering it, they're never the goal. The Lord is the goal. And He will do the delivering and the saving forever at His last day, even as He has already stretched out His right hand, Christ Jesus, to achieve the true and the lasting peace by His blood. The gods will all line up in order before Him then, even if they were not inclined to do so here, and if they are not inclined to do so now. But as fuel for your prayers in the here and now, consider the psalmist's posture and his delight. I bow down toward your holy temple. I give thanks to your name for your mercy and your truthfulness, your faithfulness. For you have magnified your word, your promise, above all, your name. Turn your attention toward Christ, in whose sacrifice you have peace with God, and yes, a quiet conscience, even amid chaos. In Him, the steadfast mercy of God is always near to you, and it endures forever. He will not forsake you. God is faithful. That is why we say that He will surely do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Walter and Robin Steele, who serve the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.